This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
All right, let's get it going right here, right now. This is Diamond Conversations, and you are listening to episode number 4 of Diamond Conversations here, exclusively on the Place to Be Podcast Network. If you didn't know by now, my name is Chad, and every single week we feature a brand new interview with somebody involved in the world of professional baseball, this time taking a journey down to the minor leagues of professional baseball as we speak with the executive vice president and general manager of the Fredericksburg Nationals, Mr. Nick Hall, joining me today on Diamond Conversations for a very fun chat talking about the now new Fredericksburg Nationals, formerly the Potomac Nationals of the Carolina League. They are the affiliate of the 2019 World Series champion Washington Nationals. And if this organization didn't have luck on its side, they do absolutely in a huge way as they enter the beautiful Fredericksburg area, the beautiful and historic Fredericksburg, Virginia area for the 2020 baseball season. And Nick Hall gives us great insight as to what we can look forward to for this Fredericksburg Nationals franchise, making the move about 35, 40 minutes south on 95 from Woodbridge, Virginia, the Potomac Nationals, Prince William County, Virginia, down to the Fredericksburg area where the Fred Nats are poised for some really big and very cool opportunities. They've got a brand new stadium that's currently in development. They've got some really cool promotions that they were telling me about. And we will hear in this interview a very exclusive and not heard anywhere else news tidbit given to me by Nick Hall. So we have that in store for you today. So I don't want to beat around the bush. I want to thank everybody again for listening to Diamond Conversations and making these 4 episodes a lot of fun to put together. It's not work. It is an absolute blast. And we will continue to have a lot of fun. And if you haven't followed us yet, please head over to Facebook. It's Diamond Conversations Baseball Podcast. And on Twitter, it's Diamond Convers 1. Again, it's at Diamond Convers 1 on Twitter. And if you want to follow me directly, it's at Wrestling Pal, where not only am I talking baseball on there, but a lot of professional wrestling. So if you're a professional wrestling fan, you can follow my TMPT Empire of Podcasts through the at Wrestling Pal handle. But we don't want to beat around the bush. We want to get right into this chat with Nick Hall from the Fredericksburg Nationals. Want you to absolutely support them if you are traveling south on 95 or traveling north on 95 through Virginia. Head on over to the beautiful Fredericksburg Nationals, a brand new stadium where the construction is currently ongoing, but this is going to be one beautiful ballpark. So we will catch you on the flip side and chat a little minor league baseball here with Mr. Nick Hall. All right, let's get it rolling right here, right now. We are back in here on Diamond Conversations, and I am sitting presently in the office of the Executive Vice President and General Manager of the now Fredericksburg Nationals, Mr. Nick Hall. Nick, thanks so much for joining us on Diamond Conversations.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you, thank you.
Well, it's very cool to be sitting in the Fredericksburg Nationals makeshift office right now as we await the grand unveiling of the stadium, as it's going to be finished very soon. We'll talk about that in a second. But the history that the team left in Woodbridge, Virginia, / Potomac, whatever you want to call it, it's cool to see you guys downtown Fredericksburg, Virginia, beautiful downtown Fredericksburg, Virginia, on Caroline Street, full of history. Everywhere you go, like every third building's like this old distressed, you know, like, you know, colonial style building. But, you know, you guys are sitting here. You got a team store out in the lobby where we're presently recording. But how's this been for you, this transition? You're almost like official now.
For sure. Well, you know, the best thing other than the history of downtown is the food in downtown Fredericksburg. Man, it is such a relief being able, when you get hungry, we just walk outside, walk 2 to 3 doors over, and there's everything at your fingertips you ever want for food. So Fredericksburg has quickly found a place in my heart.
That's very cool. And of course, minor league baseball, not too shy on the knowing the good food. So you guys get to sample some things as you get ready for this upcoming baseball season, which just came to a close 2 weeks ago, which helps you guys a lot, because I saw right before I stepped in here, one of the last things you guys had online was you got those brand new t-shirts.
Oh, yeah. Hey, man, World Series champions. It's something to brag about. It's definitely something to brag about.
It's so cool just based off of the location. Now, full disclosure, I mentioned it on the show many times, I'm a Met fan. So this one hurts a little bit. I'm just glad it wasn't the Nats and the Yankees in the World Series. That's one thing I can kind of be like, all right, I'm okay with it on that kind of side of things. But, you know, you guys being so close to Washington as it is, obviously an affiliate of them in the minor leagues, what's it mean to have them win a world championship and you guys be able to have those kinds of shirts available for not only the players but the fans as well?
We talked about this from the very beginning of the playoffs. If we can pull this off, in the same year that we open in a new market, being Fredericksburg, it would mean the world to us. And so far, we've seen just that. I mean, we will be able to, and don't quote me on this, but hopefully we can pull enough strings. Maybe that World Series trophy can be on display at some point next season in our stadium. To be able to talk that we have some of the future World Series champions playing right here in Fredericksburg, that's a huge deal. Out of the 25 men on that roster that won the World Series just a few short weeks ago, 11 played for our franchise in the last few years. 11. That's almost half of the roster was playing for the same type of baseball that we're going to be getting here in just a few short months right here in Fredericksburg. So it's really, really incredible to think that the people that we're going to be seeing, whether you know it when you see them or later on down the road, you're like, wait a minute, I know that name.
Yeah.
They are the guys that are going to be winning these World Series titles and hopefully winning a few more to come for Washington here in the next few years.
Yeah, and you know, right now they got a couple decisions that need
to
be made.
They sure do.
It kind of depends on what happens in the next couple of weeks with maybe if guys are staying or guys are leaving.
And you know, that's one thing that there's only a few teams that are able to keep that going. You know, the Yankees, the Dodgers, they have those insane budgets. But that's what happens when you win a World Series, man. I mean, when you look at what Strasburg was able to do, what Scherzer was able to do, look at what Soto was doing. I mean, I can go down the entire roster, really, and talk about the performances that they had in that World Series. I mean, they're looking to get paid. They're looking to get paid, and so it's really exciting to see what direction the Nationals will go with quite a few different people that obviously, as you watch the ESPNs of the world, you know that their contracts are up or they're looking for renegotiations, that kind of stuff. So excited to see what comes out of it over the next few weeks, few months.
Yeah, absolutely. And does that include guys that stop through for rehab assignments as well? Because that's one thing that I always thought was very cool about when you guys were in Potomac, is that all you got to do is shoot down 95 and you got yourself a rehab assignment.
For
and
sure.
I thought that was really cool. So that includes guys that stop through for, you know, an elbow rehab, a 3-game stint, something like that.
For sure. Ironically, most of those guys that you're talking about also came up through our farm system.
Right,
though.
Correct.
And so it's like, so yes, we got them on a rehab after they were that big name, but we also had Ryan Zimmerman. We also had Steven Strasburg before they were Ryan Zimmerman and Steven Strasburg. Absolutely. So yes, it does include some of those rehabs, but that's the great thing. When we were talking with the Nationals when I first got here just a few months ago, one of the best things that they said about Fredericksburg, and it's the same thing about Potomac, was that they can send their guys down here for a rehab start. And they can go home and sleep in their own house in their own bed, all in the same
huge
night.
Huge difference.
The teams that I was with previously, you can't do that. You're in a hotel.
Right.
You have no choice. But that's a huge difference to be able to send your guys down, drive, you know, what, an hour, 4 hours, depending on traffic. But no, an hour down the road, be able to play a baseball game and then just head right on back up and sleep in your own bed. That's a huge, huge bonus.
Yeah, not only for the franchise, but then for the fans as well, because you guys are right off 95. And that is the important part. If you're traveling down 95 South and 95 North, it's going to take you, what, a couple minutes just to get right
for
into
sure.
the parking lot of the stadium, which when you were in Potomac, it wasn't far, so to speak.
It was
a little bit. But this is different. This is right off 95. And for any fan of the Nationals or any baseball fan, and of course you get the fans that travel from all over just to go to a new stadium, I think you guys are primed with a great location. and definitely poised for some success in year one. But kind of what are the expectations going into year one in a move? A team that had a big history in the former area, former stadium, the Prince William Cannons, the history with the Yankees, and then moving organizations throughout the years, affiliations with the Pirates, and then obviously the Nationals. I mean, that one just works absolutely perfect. But kind of what are the expectations for year one?
Yeah, so I'll speak on a couple of those. So the one thing, you mentioned a lot of history with that baseball team. So one of the great things that we're doing is we are bringing some of that right here to Fredericksburg. So we have a few areas in the park kind of designed for a whole lot of different fun stuff. One of the main things is food. One of the main things that we're going to be concentrating is food and those crazy items. But one of the many things that we are going to be doing is we're planning on doing a baseball history wall. One for our franchise and what they not just have accomplished, but who's walked through our doors and everything that you're mentioning right now. So we're going to have that as well as a history wall kind of designated to the history of baseball in Fredericksburg. A lot of people don't know this. Abner Doubleday, the father of baseball, played a game here in Fredericksburg.
Wow.
People don't realize that kind of stuff. I mean, this was a while ago.
A couple years.
Yeah, a couple years ago. Don't get me wrong. Baseball's been around way longer than any of us, and it'll be around way longer than any of us. But, Abner Doubleday was here in Fredericksburg playing a baseball game. So from a history perspective, we're going to bring that into the stadium. So if you ever have questions about that history, we're going to have, a wall really dedicated to that inside the stadium. So we're going to that history is something that's going to be very, very important inside the stadium, and we're excited to bring that in.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, history and baseball go together hand in hand. You could literally any kind of hit, any kind of pitch, any kind of move, everything ends up being historical in some way, shape, or form in the game of baseball because we're all looking for that.
For sure.
But so year one, it's a pivotal thing, and I've seen franchises that get going off the ground. And I'm going to put you guys into, the startup category because you dug the dirt, you're building the stadium.
Correct.
And we're waiting the debut, the grand unveiling, but kind of how's that process been going for the franchise so far?
For sure. And as far as those first year expectations you were talking about, I mean, it's although it's a startup as far as the city, as far as the market, as far as the stadium, it's not like we are starting over with our players.
Right.
We do have a very successful, we were unfortunately one game out of the playoffs last year at the advanced A level where we're at. So one game out of the playoffs, and obviously every year you look to improve. So we are hopeful and excited for this team, and it'll hopefully bring some success in here. Myself, I have 3 minor league championships in the last 4 years, so I'm bringing that over here. I have no doubt we're going to continue that streak.
You're the good luck charm.
I am the lucky charm, man. I'm telling you. I might have nothing to do with what they're doing on the field, but just being there, it's luck. So I'm the rabbit's foot of minor league baseball. That's what I'm going to call myself. So.
Yeah, that's good. Now, I like your history, too. You have a nice little biography on the website for the team, and I like to dig into that a little bit because, I have some roots in minor league baseball as well. I know what it's like going into the day of a game and the pressures and what you do, not only as an EVP, but also as a general manager.
Yeah.
I mean, during the game days, you are going to be swamped.
Yes, yeah.
You got a ton of other things you got to worry about outside of just, what's going on presently for you, but your history itself. So kind of tell people what you did before you won these illustrious 3 championships. Yeah. You got a nice, 15, 20-year career.
Yeah, man. So to be completely honest with you, I started as a mascot.
I love that. I wanted you to say it.
That is where my passion is. My passion is in entertainment. When it comes to minor league baseball, my passion is entertainment. It is making sure our fans have a good time. So what I like to tell people is that what happens on the field is super serious, man. It's super serious. These guys are playing for their careers. They're coaching for your careers. Between those foul lines, I mean, you might know why they're so throwing a slider, a curveball, a fastball, and all that kind of stuff. And it's very serious. Everything else happening inside of minor league park is where we come into play. Why do I go to a game? You may go for the sliders. You may go for stealing signs and all that kind of good stuff. I go for hot dogs. I go for beer. That's why I'm there. I go to take my mind off the workday for a little bit, and that is where we kind of come in. That is where we take over and make sure that our fans are having a great time. When it boils down to it, and myself the same way, sometimes I don't get to look at the field until the ninth inning. But if you're leaving, you can give me a high five. When I'm standing out in front of those gates each night, you give me a high five, and I say, what was the score of that game? You're like, then that means we did a good job.
Yeah.
We did a good job. That's what minor league baseball is all about. That's what minor league baseball is all about. It's not about the baseball. It's about the atmosphere that we're going to be able to provide. And then, to be honest, the baseball and World Series champions, that's just a perk. That's just a perk for our fans to be able to see that caliber of baseball, which we're going to have out here as well.
Yeah, and, you know, I've seen minor league baseball evolve over 20 years. It's amazing how much the major leagues have now borrowed from the minor leagues over the last 20 years. They have really the promotional side of things, you know, the in-game entertainment. I think a lot of that starts in the minor leagues, and it's a real important part of it, and you've seen it kind of evolve, and obviously, and we're going to get back into the mascot thing, so we can't just walk away from that. So, obviously, you get to see what it's like literally in front of you. You get to see every kid that's either flipping you off or giving you a high five. But kind of talk about, so when you got into doing that in the entertainment side, did you kind of have a preconceived notion about a, quote, mascot? Or did you see it as, like, I'm literally the center of attention for this game? Once I step on that dugout, the eyes are now coming on me, and I'm the star of the show.
Yeah, that's I'm going to be honest with you, that's exactly how I saw it.
That's great.
I was at one point in my career, I thought I was born to wear a mascot suit and do some exotic dances. That's what I was ready to do, man. I was ready to dance. I was ready to be that center of attention. Eventually for me, it just kind of got to a point where it was like I transitioned to being that person on the microphone during the games. Not necessarily radio, but, you know, being able to be the MC on the field, everything like that. And then one thing led to another. But at the same time, my passion is in the entertainment side of things. That's where I love. But yeah, so eventually I kind of transitioned into a more matured front office role. You know, got into the box office, everything like that. So one thing led to another. I was general manager for the AA for the Diamondbacks for a couple years in Jackson, Tennessee, rural West Tennessee. And then this last year, I actually went over to Amarillo, Texas, where we were the AA for the Padres.
Nice.
Built a brand new stadium out there. Gorgeous, gorgeous stadium. It's a beautiful stadium. And I think we led a lot of categories last year in minor league baseball in Amarillo. That's a fantastic group out there. Tony Enzer and his crew, fantastic job. They're gonna kill it. They're gonna be the team that a lot of teams chase in minor league baseball for years to come. But then this year, obviously, the Stoper family called me up, had this opportunity to open another stadium. When I told everybody that kind of what I was wanting to do with opening another stadium, they kind of looked at me like, why would you ever want to go through that again? But here we are, man. Here we are. So super, super excited. I think that the excitement in this community does remind me of just Amarillo last year opening that. I mean, everybody is so pumped for baseball here in Fredericksburg. So very excited.
That's so cool. And those are and I love the different cities. You know, because each one has a different identifiable thing. Now, I don't think about Memphis, Tennessee, and I don't think about baseball.
Yeah.
I think of everything but baseball. But when you think of Amarillo, Texas, you think, all right, well, they've obviously got a rich baseball pedigree in the itself.
Sure, man. And if you go to Amarillo, Texas, and I can already tell you this, and I hope somebody from Amarillo is listening, and you ask them about baseball history in Amarillo, they're going to tell you one thing. Do you know Tony Gwynn played here? Baseball fame is that cool. Tony Gwynn played right there in Amarillo as well. So that's a big deal to Amarillo, and it should be a big deal. One of the greatest of all time.
How about Memphis, though? Because, like I said, not identifiable with baseball. Okay, so there you go.
Bo Jackson. So they've had just as big of names come through there as well. Bo Jackson came through back for historically. You got to go back a little bit, but that's the Memphis Chicks of the Southern League. And then eventually the Memphis franchise moved to Jackson, Tennessee, a little bit down the road. And then right after they moved, the Memphis Redbirds came on into Memphis. So definitely rich history of baseball in West Tennessee as well. So you have between Jackson and Memphis, two great franchises. I mean, playing for the Cardinals, that's my hometown team. That's
there you
my
go. Hometown team. There you go.
So it was always cool to be so close to them. But then over the last decade of being in Jackson, we were split between the Cubs, Mariners, and the Diamondbacks, as far as our affiliates go. So we had a successful run with that. I think for the first time in league history, we had back-to-back MVPs. So that a really good run over the last 10 years or so in Jackson as well.
It's fascinating from a fan perspective, because when you're a minor league affiliate and you're rooting for the Redbirds, or you're rooting for, you know, the Blue Claws in New Jersey, you're rooting for somebody that's associated with a team. You know, and then they switch and their contract's up. They move on to a different franchise. I always try to put myself in that mindset because obviously, I mean, I've never had a dedicated minor league team. But so do you like kind of lose your affinity for the franchise that is now left because you've watched those players? You, as a fan, you fostered them from their infancy. Some people throw in their first pitch or they're swinging the bat for the first time in a professional game, but it's for X major league franchise, you know, affiliate. When it switches, what do you do?
So yeah, that's a great question. That's a great question. So it can be difficult, but here's where Jackson was a little different than both the Memphis market and especially here. Memphis is owned by the St. Louis Cardinals. So the one reason that that's great is they're probably not switching
makes it easier, right?
Jackson was really unique in that we were so far away from the Seattle Mariners. I mean, there's only a few AA teams that actually can be further away from the Seattle Mariners.
Yeah.
And then you had the Diamondbacks, which are considerably closer, but not necessarily right down the road.
It's not a stone's throw.
It's not close. It's not close. But both great, great organizations that sent some great players through Jackson. But when it came down to it, I think the Jackson market really, they followed the players more than they followed the team. One of the most ironic stories and a fantastic guy, got to meet him multiple times back when I was still an intern. Now he's just killing it in Arizona. But Taiwan Walker.
Oh, okay.
So he actually, if you look back on Taiwan's career, it really lined up with Jackson pretty brilliantly. Taiwan Walker was drafted by the Mariners, went up through the Mariners system. Very highly touted. And he's panning out to it. I'll tell you what, man. He's fun to watch pitch. One of the most talented arms in the game. I really think so. But, you know, Taiwan Walker eventually got traded to the Diamondbacks.
Right.
The year that he got traded to the Diamondbacks is when our affiliation switched from the Mariners to the Diamondbacks. Okay. It just happened to work out that way. He had a rehab start again as a Diamondback in Jackson.
Wow.
Our first year. So, I mean, it's stuff like that that's kind of crazy. But for our fans, they – Jackson, Tennessee is a Taiwan Walker fan, kind of for that reason. No fault of Taiwan Walker's, but they're kind of a, you know, they follow these players.
Right.
And so they identify with these players. And so I think that that's something that they learn to do. Here's why we're different. We're different because we are a stone's throw away from our affiliate.
Exactly.
And that's what makes us so different. That's what makes this affiliation with the World Series champion Washington Nationals so great. So great here in Fredericksburg is that being so close to, one, our affiliate, and two, there's no doubt about it, in Fredericksburg, the hometown team is the Nationals as well.
Right.
So being affiliated with the hometown team is just a huge momentum builder for us.
Yeah, it's very cool. So before we kind of start to get into the wrap-up here, just talk about the branding if you can, because that's just as important as anything in-game or anything going on. So it's definitely all about the branding. So you guys just released all the, you know, the hats, the T-shirts, and all the stuff I just walked through briefly in the team store, just to kind of take a little bit in as I was walking into your office, just to kind of look at it. How important is getting the branding out there and making that recognizable?
Oh my gosh, it's so important! It's so important. It's more important than selling tickets at this point. Our brand, we need, you know, there's businesses that are right down the street from the construction site where, you know, I mean, and the construction site is huge. There's businesses right down the street. They're like, oh, a baseball team. And it breaks my heart when I hear it. So that's what our number one focus is, our branding in this community.
Right.
Our getting our name out there. That's our biggest thing. Dan Simon actually created our logos. So when we did a name the team contest, almost half of the entries were, we need to stay with the Nationals. We had some weird entries too that we were like, hey, maybe we should think about getting a little weird with this. But no, almost half the entries were for the Nationals. It was 10 times as much as the second place name that came up, which ironically was the Cannons once again. So almost 10 times as many for the Nationals. So it was a no-brainer for us to choose the Nationals. But the one thing that we needed to be sure of is that obviously we were going to have a logo that is traditional, looks like the curly F, but the one thing that we needed is we need some unique logos. And oh my gosh, did they do a great job with our logos. I really think in minor league baseball, we have some of the greatest logos that are out there. There are some great logos out there. But I really think that we have some of the most unique logos, and it's fantastic. And that's what we're doing right now. And now you mentioned we have all the t-shirts. I can guarantee you we're going to have a whole lot more come opening day. We're going to have our team store is going to be filled with so many different options, so many fun ways and spins on our logos. I think the Fredericksburg is going to go crazy over that. But right now, without a shadow of a doubt, it is so important to get our branding out there and make sure people know that the Fred Nats are a Fredericksburg team.
Yeah, the Fred Nats, it's a, you know, like you said, it's a curly F, very close to what the Washington W, the curly
of
W,
course,
the flying high, the curly W. You know, it's very close to that, but it is very cool. And I love how the abbreviation looks on some of the branding that you guys have out there, the t-shirts, the stickers, all that stuff. Now, how about from the mascot perspective? Are you guys carrying over... who was it in Potomac? I'm blanking on it right now. But you guys haven't made any kind of decisions yet on what you're going to do?
We have not made a decision, but the previous mascot is being retired.
Okay.
So we can't expect something new, but we haven't released what that is. That'll probably be in the new year. When Fredericksburg sees this mascot, just get ready. It's gonna be a blast. We talked about should we get weird with the team name. We decided not to. Tried to stay traditional. Just get ready for the mascot. It's gonna be fun.
I think we might be getting weird.
We might be getting weird.
But that's very cool. And obviously, somebody like you who can input some of your history into that, I'm sure, probably.
Absolutely. It's not just me. Our creative staff here is absolutely top notch. We have some local flair, and we have some of the best across the entire industry here to run the entertainment side of things in this stadium. And that includes the mascot. That includes the in-game entertainment. That includes, the fireworks nights and everything that we're going to be doing inside the park. So we have a top-notch staff really dedicated to making sure the fan experience is 100%.
Absolutely. Now, give us some important dates. Obviously, the launch of the first game of the year.
Yeah.
Any more of the cool stuff coming in the new year. Before we get into the plugs and everything else, give us some important dates.
For sure. November 16th coming up. It's actually just a week from now. On November 16th, we are having an event for Mary Washington's birthday at the Mary Washington House. We will be unveiling our jerseys.
Oh, okay.
We'll be doing our jerseys, and we have some other treats for Fred Nats fans that are out there on some of the other stuff that we'll be unveiling at that event. And then after that, we will be in the Christmas parade here in Fredericksburg.
Very nice.
Very excited for that. But then our most important date is April 23rd. April 23rd is opening night here in Fredericksburg. We are, as far as construction goes, we are right on task for it right now, and it is going to be an awesome, awesome event.
So, yeah, the city itself is just, it's so great, especially around this time of the year when they get everything all decorated. It's very cool. So you guys will find a very good home very fast. I'm very happy to be in the vicinity of the stadium, be able to come down and check it out. But before we wrap up, please send the listeners of Diamond Conversations to where they can find everything for the Fredericksburg Nationals, the Fred Nats, social media, website, anything going on in the world of these booming Fred Nats.
For sure. We are Fred Nats on all the social medias. We have Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. They have really blown up. One of the big reasons was the World Series. They've really blown up. I think our staff does an amazing job with our social media. So please like, share, follow us, do all that kind of good stuff. But then also to FredNats.com. FredNats.com. Information on tickets, information on merchandise. You can do online ordering. But the most importantly, we are down here every single day. At downtown Fredericksburg, 601 Caroline Street. We would love for you to come out, love for you to kind of take a look firsthand at some of the shirts and the hats that we do have. But then along with that, too, if you haven't gotten your tickets, they're flying, man. They're flying. This community is so excited for them. And I just get so worried that there will be people that will be not able to get those tickets just because there's so many tickets being sold. We'd love to see all of Fredericksburg. Come on down to 601 Caroline Street right here on the first floor. As soon as you come in, take a left. There's our door. Can't miss it. We would love to have all of Fredericksburg at every single game this upcoming season.
Yeah, you can't come down for the holidays. They're going to have it all decorated here in a few weeks. A first night where they kind of have everything all set up. And it's a real special time of the year, and having you guys associated with it is going to make it that much cooler. So if you are in the vicinity of Caroline Street in Fredericksburg, just please come out to the team store, support the Fred Nats. If you're a baseball fan and traveling through, get ready for the summertime because you guys are going to be a destination without a doubt.
Yeah.
And if not, if Fredericksburg doesn't know you're here, just wait for the first fireworks night. And then they'll know you guys are here.
Yeah, we'll know they're here, huh?
But no, Nick, I appreciate you coming on today.
Absolutely.
And maybe look forward to having you back and watching you guys blossom. And really, for me, best of luck. I think you guys are going to have a great run here in Fredericksburg.
That sounds good. Thank you so much. And I'll be glad to come back anytime.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to be Nation Wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth search projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture.